Welcome back to Badass Women in Business Podcast. We have a fabulous guest today, showing up all the way from the Research Triangle of North Carolina. So for those of you who do not know, I graduated with a master's degree from Chapel Hill, or the University of North Carolina, and Tyler Brannon, who is here today, is a rival of mine because she comes straight from NC State. Although I give her points because she's got from JD of the University of South Carolina. So go Heels, and most importantly, go Cox. Hi, Tyler. How are you? Welcome to the show.
I'm good. How are you? I won't hold it against you that you went to Chapel Hill, so I'm glad we have the South Carolina that could bond us.
You know what? They're very close to one another, just down the road. For those of you who do not know the Research Triangle landscape, it's like one or two roads to go from Chapel Hill to downtown Raleigh. So
yeah, we're very close. Very close. Yeah. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here today.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell us who you are.
So who am I? I am a college football lover. Love college football. You know, I wish I could be a college football coach one day, maybe in my next life. And I am CEO of Optimal Bio, but I think that's just part of me. And I, the oldest of seven, so we can go a whole journey on that road, right? I would say just someone who really wants to enjoy life and get the most out of it in so many different ways.
Tyler, I would love to learn, you kind of, you know, brushed over it a little bit, but being a CEO of Optimal Bio, first of all, what is Optimal Bio and what is life like being the CEO of a large organization that you've grown?
So Optimal Bio is a medical company with medical practices. So we specialize in hormones, but more specifically in bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, which means it's all natural and it's the exact same molecule that our body produces, so it knows how to metabolize it. So there's not going to be negative side effects like a synthetic hormone. As we age, our hormones decrease, but because of environmental factors, our hormones decrease at a lot quicker rate. And what people don't realize is hormones are the foundation of your health. So testosterone has over 500 functions. Estrogen has over 400. Progesterone has over 300. So we need hormones. It touches every system and function in our body. And specifically women, we need more testosterone in our bodies than estrogen, but no one really knows that or really talks about it. And what is it like being CEO? Days are wild, but that's a good thing. I think you have to enjoy that. I would not be a person that needs the same 9 to 5 every day. But it's been incredible to be part of, like, helping build a company, build a brand, building a team. I love it. So that's like the worst day. I still couldn't imagine not being part of that. And also, our team fully believes in what we do, and I think that brings it back to every day. It's like we are here to help people feel better, and we all truly believe in that. And so it helps, you know, the harder days that may happen, but don't get me wrong, there are some days that give me a lot of wrinkles.
So I'm curious, Tyler, because this is, you know, the medical field is usually not something that a lot of women venture into. And I'm curious how you got started, how you landed where you landed, and your impetus story, because that's always a good start for a good case study.
Yeah. So I think everyone's journey is unique, right? And we don't fully know where we want to be or what we want to do. But growing up, I always wanted to be a doctor. I love science. I love medicine. My dad was a doctor. So I think I was just around that. I saw my first C-section when I was 15, so it was just kind of part of me, who I was. I worked in medical offices, in the hospital, high school, college, and then I was pre-med in college, and then I was like, don't want to go to med school, and so that's when I switched over to going to law school. And really going into law school, I wanted to be on the business side of things. You can do so much with law. It really teaches you how to think in other ways you wouldn't know. And so that's when I went to South Carolina, go Cox, and got my JD, MBA, and then moved up to DC for a few years, was working there. And then my dad is the medical director at Optimal Bio. And so I was moving back to Raleigh in like 2018, and he was like, hey, like, when you're applying for jobs, can you come help us at the hormone office? And I was like, no, like, no thanks. He asked again, and so I was like, why not? Going back to the, I'm the oldest, you still want to, like, you know, please your parents. So I said, sure. I was like, I'll come help while I'm applying for jobs. And I was literally flipping rooms, like, prepping patients' charts. And at that time, we were seeing probably about 20 to 30 patients a month. And there was no process in place, paper charts. I love organization. So really created, like, SOPs. We went paperless, and then was like, okay, like, good luck. I'm going to leave now. And then someone recommended that I stay and create my own company. And I was like, what? Like, that's never crossed my mind. And so I was like, all right, I'll give it a year if you're my mentor. So that was 2019. Still here. We rebranded Optimal Bio, and now we see over 1,000 patients a month. We have 7 locations and opening our 8th in Austin, Texas.
So take me back to, you should make your own company as long as you're going to mentor me. Who was that person, and how did they play a pivotal role in being a mentor and giving you the confidence as a young CEO?
Yeah, so someone that my parents had known, like, for a while. So I knew him, like, I knew of him, right? And I respected him as a person, but also as a business person. So, because I think it's very important of who you work with, who you associate with, let alone who's going to take on that role of a mentor, because you need someone that's going to push you, but you need someone that's going to respect you. You can't have one or the other, I believe. And so that's who he was. And now we still work together. He's one of our partners. And it's definitely been a journey. Like, it's hard, right? I was 27, 28. And he had already, you know, had his company, he had sold it, so he had so much experience. But then you really learn that you learn from each other. But it goes back to making sure you have that foundation of respect, because you're going to have some really hard conversations and some really hard seasons, right? But as long as you know that respect is there and you're working toward the same goal, it helps, like, okay, you know, going through those conversations.
I love the fact that you were just saying earlier, like, I've always wanted to go to med school, fascinated with medicine, but then no thank you to med school, decided to go for a JD, which is super challenging all in itself, and you doubled it with an MBA, so kudos to you. But now I'm so curious, like, what did you do in DC?
Yeah, so I worked with Lululemon for a little bit, and WeWork. So opening, like, with different, like, corp for Lululemon, helping locations, like, their marketing. They're very involved in the community. And then we work with some of their, like, corporate clients. So it's interesting to be part of that for a little bit.
Well, you stepped out of WeWork at the right time, I guess.
Very interesting. Because, like, you would see some things and you'd be like, oh, that doesn't really make sense. But, like, you know. They know more. We are just doing our job. So, yeah, it was a good time to leave.
Yeah. And looking back now as a CEO of your own company, and you look back at those practices and you think to yourself, wow, okay.
Right. I feel like so many lessons, because you always want to be like, how do I get better? How do I become a better leader, a better person? And I feel like so much in that learning is being, like, knowing what you don't want to be from those experiences as well, or making people feel the way that people make you feel.
Yeah. You're setting me up for some great questions here. So far, what's the biggest lesson you've learned?
Oh, gosh. I would say, I know this sounds cliche, but listen to your gut. It's telling you something. And I think that is the biggest lesson. You know what you should do. You have that right feeling. Especially if you're in with your company, you're in with their team, you know what the right decision is. I think that's the biggest thing, because there's times that, you know, I should have probably let people go sooner, or, like, you know, the saying, hire slowly, fire quickly. So true. And every time I'm like, what, am I going to learn this better next time? But I think ultimately, like, just trusting your gut, like, you know.
Always.
Always, right?
And I love that you went there, because as a society, we have been suppressing that intuitive knowledge that we truly have, because we're always told that it's probably wrong. But those times when we do go against it, it proves itself every single time. You know, one thing you talked about with your team, and I think this leads to more of a culture, is everyone is passionate about helping people feel their best. In words, you kind of said it that way. So when it comes to creating a culture and also on your recruiting side, how do you identify that they're going to be a good fit for the organization and champion the mission that you guys have?
Well, one, you always hope, right? Whenever you hire, you're just like, you always hope it's gonna work out. But we have a great recruiting team that's in-house. So they know the questions, they know what we're looking for. They've been part of, our team, so they know who they want as as a coworker. So we, the biggest things are you take initiative, you respect each other, that communication. And we always do shadow interviews. So they come in, and that is the biggest, I think the biggest thing, because they talk to so many different teammates, coworkers, and everyone sees a different point of view and perspective. And people may ask or say different things or act a different way, depending on who they may be around. And so that is the biggest way. You can just see little things, how they interact with certain people. And then also, are they asking questions? Are they asking questions that make sense if they're interested in what we do? Are they just kind of sitting there? Are they getting up and they're like, hey, I'm going to go flip a room? Like, it's just those, seeing our core values kind of highlighted, especially in that shadow. But I think it's helpful because we do about 3 rounds of interviews, but in that shadow, they talk to several people. And then we ask the team, like, hey, what were your thoughts and why? So I think the shadow hopefully helped with the culture. But then once you're in the team, so you have a monthly one-on-one with your manager. We have a leadership meeting the second Tuesday of the month that is optional, but like the whole team joins, which is really cool to see. We have quarterly provider meetings. We have yearly team meetings. So really trying to foster that culture. You don't always get it right. You're always learning. But really trying to emphasize personal growth because that's going to impact the team and then the company and then the patients.
That's awesome. I'm curious, so you come off as really confident in what you do. When did you get comfortable in your CEO seat?
Yes. So I think I knew I know the role I have to be, right? So, and I get nervous and I think it's just a learned thing because I think there's so many ways I could go with this, right? In the beginning, I was less confident. I didn't, and I was young and I hadn't been a CEO before. I hadn't run a company. But I think because we built Optimal Bio for what was best for our patients and our team, not because, oh, some company did it for 50 years. So I think that was helpful, just getting in that groove and then seeing our patient retention, seeing our new patients, seeing the team that we're building help build my confidence. Just kind of, and then knowing what we do, like I knew every process backwards and forwards here. I know all the science of what we do. So I think it goes into just practice every day to get better, whether it's the science, having those hard conversations. I've had a million hard conversations. Are they ever going to get easier? No, but I know that's my job. And I know if I don't have those conversations, it's going to get worse. And then how do I hold my team to have those conversations if I'm not? It's funny because, like you could do like those personality or strength finders tests. And it's always like me as a person is like right here. And then me as like my job all aligned, except for being like, I'm very quiet. It's always like the opposite of what I know I should be at work. So it's definitely not something I have to work on. But I think I'm confident in what we do. And then that helps build off everything else that we do. And I'm a leader. How can I not be confident or calm? Like I have to. And I think that's what goes back to your, like when people ask work-life balance. I don't believe that's a thing. I think it blends. And I think if it's two different things, that's where problems arise. Because if my life was like a disaster on Sunday, of course I'm not perfect, but like how do I show up Monday for my team? And I think I always want to optimize my brain because that's affects everything else. So I really try to work on those things. And probably then it goes to my confidence. But would I say my top 10 strength is confidence? Absolutely not. But I think I'm like, okay, I know who I'm supposed to be and want to be to try to live into that.
I really appreciate you bringing the light to work-life balance and that it really doesn't exist and that they actually have to be one, because so many people try to separate it. And the reality is we spend as much, if not more time at our jobs than we do in our personal lives. And so I think that also comes down to like being passionate about what you do. And if you are passionate about what you do, you don't feel that pull between the work and life balance as well. I want to shift the conversation because a lot of our listeners are obviously women. And I think that based on past, there's a lot of misinformation around hormone replacement therapy, specifically more so around what is bioidentical and how is that different. And I guess kind of giving a high level overview of what it is, and then also when should people seek it out, right? I mean, I'll use myself as an example. I'm in my 40s. I go to the doctor and I'm like, I think my hormones are off. My GYN just gives me a prescription for progesterone, doesn't even do blood work, doesn't even test me. And I'm like, I'm smarter than this. So I go to my regular doctor. I'm like, can you check all my hormone levels? I do have a prescription if I need it. And she's like, you don't. You're not there yet. But here's some things to be looking out for. And so I just think it's so interesting. And I pay out of pocket for my regular doctor because I know I'm going to get the best advice that way. But that people are just so willing to give a prescription for something without knowing the details. So that's my rant. I'll let you go.
Yeah. No, this is why we're here every day and why we're so passionate about what we do is because of that. And you had mentioned a few minutes ago that we don't listen to ourselves, like we don't listen to our gut. But also I think it goes to we really don't realize or want to. We're so detached. Like, how do I feel? Well, you know how you feel better than any doctor is going to tell you, right? Like, you know if something's off, you know if you don't feel well. So what we do, like I mentioned before, bioidentical, it's so important that the difference between bioidentical and synthetic. So bioidentical meaning it's the exact same molecule that our body produces, so it knows how to metabolize it. Also, like you said, we dose your hormone dosage off of your blood work. So it's personalized to you, to what your body needs to get into that goal range. So think about bioidentical. It's like a lock and key. It fits into the lock, it opens. So your body knows how to use it just like your own hormones. Synthetics, it can fit into the lock, but it can't open. So then that's when these negative side effects can occur. Also, you're not going to get the same benefits as bioidentical. So the top reasons why we see people every day, no matter if they're 25, 65, male or female, brain fog, fatigue, trouble sleeping, anxiety, and depression. Also, if your hormones are balanced by using bioidentical, not synthetic, it acts preventative. So it helps protect your brain from dementia, your heart from heart attacks, your bones from osteoporosis, clearing out inflammation, which we know is the root cause of most diseases. And so it's really a twofold effect of day to day, but then keeping you healthy as you age. Like I mentioned earlier, testosterone has 500 functions. Okay, but what does that mean to my body? Every cell in our body has a testosterone receptor, meaning it's vital, right? And you said you're not ready, you know, your doctor said you're not ready for it. So yes, as we age, our hormones decrease, but because of environmental factors, our hormones are decreasing at a lot quicker rate. So the toxins in our food, in our water, beauty supplies, cleaning supplies, what have you, they're making our body stop producing our own hormones, why we're so much lower. So you get your blood work back. One, sadly, most doctors don't even test testosterone for women. They think of it as a male hormone, even though women need more testosterone than estrogen in our bodies. The normal range is 2 to 20. Where's the normal range coming from? It's the average of the population. So every year, the normal range decreases. So we say, do you want to be a normal sick person? I would hope the answer is no, right? Our normal range for women, testosterone, is 90 to 300. Where do we get our goal range from? Is literally what our grandparents were walking around at before these environmental factors have caused our hormones to decrease at such a rapid rate. I know that was a lot, but try to sum it all up of why we're low and why we need hormones.
This is awesome. My education about hormones comes from TikTok because I feel like people are actually giving testimonials, and I just to your point on testosterone, I just heard this young woman talking about the fact that she was prescribed testosterone, and we're so used to looking at those videos of people like, hey, this is my first day on T, for if they're transitioning from female to male, but it is very rare that we see just women having a prescribed testosterone, because there is a balance. So I love it. And selfishly, Christy and I are chatting on this, and we're like, when is she opening an office in Colorado? Just as
hey, it's on our list. We would love to come to Colorado. Like, I'm 33. I'm on testosterone. So before menopause, women just get testosterone through us. Of course, there might be, you know, different situations that they may get low dose of estrogen or progesterone. But yeah, you don't talk, like, people are not talking about that women need testosterone. Thankfully, I feel like every year the conversation about hormones is getting bigger. TikTok loves hormones, so that's great, because people will call us and they'll be like, I know this sounds weird, but I heard about hormones on TikTok. And we're like, great, let's chat. And it's once you know, like, hormones are the foundation of your health, then it all starts clicking. Or like, oh, the normal range is the average of the population. And as a society, we're getting sicker. It starts putting the pieces together of why hormones are so important. And as we know, and I think people will forget or like realize when you're sick, health impacts everything. It impacts relationship with yourself, with others, with work, what have you. And that's why it's so important.
How do you guys view, and I'm going down kind of a selfish vein here, how do you view thyroid and supplementing with that? Because I feel like thyroid symptoms and issues are chronic and huge. And I'm just curious about the synthetic and what it would be the bioidentical options as well.
Yeah, so we also do thyroid treatment, because your sex hormones and your thyroid, they work together, right? So you can't do one without the other. And also, I don't think people realize, like, your thyroid is very tiny, but it keeps you alive, right? So it's so important with your health. And also, if you have your thyroid that's in balance, you can have like 600 different symptoms, but it all relates back to your thyroid because it's so impactful. And so we, depending on your levels, so one, most people only will test your TSH, which is not your full thyroid panel. And your TSH is not even showing how your thyroid works. Your TSH is your brain and your thyroid working together, or showing how they're working together. So we have a full extensive panel. There's about 10 panels on your thyroid that we run, you know, specifically free T3, key to see how your thyroid is functioning. And again, we have the optimal ranges, not the normal ranges that you may see on a blood panel. So step one, actually drawing the labs that you need. And then depending on your levels, we have a supplement called Thyroid Support through Pure Encapsulations, which is wonderful. It's really like a multivitamin for your thyroid. And like you said, so many people have thyroid issues. So it has like selenium, magnesium, iodine, minerals that your thyroid needs. But then if you do need a medication, we'll do Armour Thyroid or NP, because it's T3 and T4. Your thyroid needs both T3 and T4 to work. Whereas a synthetic prescription, one, it's synthetic, and two, it's not T3 and T4, it's only T4, so it's not helping your thyroid function better.
Well, now that Christy got her live diagnosis.
I love it.
Just putting that out there, not diagnosing you, you know, yes. Just letting you know some information. Yeah. And especially women. So women are the ones primarily that have thyroid issues, because a lot of times, so when you are pregnant, your testosterone, estrogen, and progesterone are going to be the highest they're ever going to be naturally, because that's how the baby is going to be, you know, born and function, all of that. And as soon as you give birth, your hormones essentially go to zero, which hence postpartum, right? That makes sense. So then once your hormones go to zero, then your thyroid starts reacting, trying to overcompensate. And that's why so many women may have thyroid issues more than men.
Always getting to the root causes.
Right?
Just like in business.
Exactly. Not like a little Band-Aid. And then it's just like this whole spiral thing. Especially like women's health is not very much studied. And, you know, it's, say, birth control. It started in the 1960s. Like, it's not old, right? And so it's just really being your own advocate and asking those questions and doing that research, I think, is key. Because, like we said, like, you know how you feel the best. Like, who cares what a lab says? Like, if you don't feel good, something's not right and what is the issue.
Well, I was going to take this conversation to scaling and growth, but I'll table that for a second because you said something that intrigued me. Because again, going back to my friend TikTok that apparently I'm spending entirely too much time on. Well, one of the things that I've noticed as well, and this is a societal issue, so not just TikTok related, although one could argue, it's women's care in general, and the fact that for whatever reason we're looking at women's care the same way we would look at human care, which means that we're using the white man as a kind of benchmark to all of that. So I'm curious to know how you see your business changing that a little bit, because I feel that it is in many ways, but I want to hear it from in your words.
Yeah, 100%. So I think as healthcare in general, it should be the relationship between the patient and the provider. And we've gone so far from that. So that's why it's just very boxed. It's like, okay, and then women in general, right? We've talked about like they've never done studies, or it's just the white male that they're doing studies on. And like, we're all very different, right? Our bodies work very differently. So I think starting off, it's just that patient relationship that we, again, like I said, like we are here for patients, and that's what we're all built for. So you come, like the first appointment with us is that consultation. Like, who are you? What are your symptoms? And then the blood work, right? So we're dosing for the blood work. We're not just saying you're a 42-year-old female. This is what your dose is. It's like, no, what is your blood work? What are your symptoms? What is your activity level? And very personalized to you. So I think that's our key, is personalized health. So no matter if male, female, 25, 26, 27, you know, 35, is key to seeing the patient as a person and not just an age, a number, a gender, because there's so much more to it. And listening to the patient, I think, is key.
Yeah. And when insurance providers only allow you guys 10 minutes to see a patient, you're doing yourself a disservice, which is why I go self-pay, right?
So I think exactly. Great. Like, we don't accept insurance. And that's why, so that we can treat our patients how they need to be treated, not because of what insurance tells you to. And then, like, you know, just tactical, like, follow appointments with us are free of charge. So you can talk to the provider, you can, you know, review your labs. Really, I think it's little, but it's a big thing, because we do want to hear your updates, your questions. But two, our biggest thing is education. So we educate our patients of what we do, why we do it, but then like they're always leaving the office with a different white paper or what have you. So when they go to their other doctor, they can feel confident asking questions instead of just saying, okay, because I think we were kind of raised to just go to the doctor and say, okay. And I think little by little, we're realizing we're allowed to ask questions.
I'm going to circle back around too, because I have such interest in, you became CEO in 2018. You've scaled to 7 locations and continuing to open more. First of all, how did you, number one, have the vision to scale? And number two, how did you successfully scale?
So vision is, I think we know the need. For one, healthcare, like we talked about, right? That personalized healthcare, but specifically what we do with hormones. So, like we've discussed, a lot of people do not understand the importance of hormones and do not understand that there's options, including doctors. And so we have patients that travel in to see us because you only need to come into an office. Like, women get placed 3 to 4 times a year, men about 2 to 3 times a year. So we have people that come to travel. So, you know, say specifically in North Carolina, we wanted to be able to be spaced out across the state that it could be easier to access instead of just because our first location was in Cary. Same within South Carolina, like 2 across the state to probably help like hit most of the state. And so that's the kind of the way we looked at it. And then going into Austin, being able to, you know, open that territory to bring what we do to people. We are the only provider that only specializes in hormones that has multiple locations. So there might be other people that do it, of course, but different services. And we truly believe that because we specialize in it, it really affects that patient care. And successfully, I mean, I think the key is we're always trying to get better every day. But when the forefront is patient care, and that's like, I will not change anything for that. is the quality. So any optimal bio you go into, I want everyone to have the same exact quality from when you walk in and the patient coordinator greets you to the experience with the provider. So that is key. So back to the hiring, the training is very extensive. For the first like 4 years, Greg and I, Dr. Brandon, we would go and we would see the patients ourselves. So, and we like built up that. So we'd be at Cary Monday morning, Charlotte Monday afternoon, and just built up that base and that quality that they should expect. And then after that, so for the past few years, every week I was in a different office, really making sure that culture and that quality was there. But I think the biggest thing about scaling and growing, what got you to one place may hinder you from getting to the next. So really important to building that team of leaders, of accountability, so that you know the quality's there. Because that's number one, is quality. Because people will say, like, can you grow faster? Or why aren't you growing faster? And it's like, one, what's the definition of faster? But two, sure, we can open 12 tomorrow, but is the quality going to be there? And the quality always needs to be there because we're dealing with patients.
Christy and I, during our day job, were business advisors. We're only entertainers after hours.
I love it.
Yeah, we do magic too from time to time.
Oh, wow, we need to schedule that.
Where'd that bird come from? but so one of the things that we touch on with our clients who are, I mean, all in scaling mode, and maybe those who are interested in opening multiple locations. So you mentioned that initially you started scaling domestically, so within the state of North Carolina, and you're expanding further and further. Like, what is your thought process? How do you make that decision of like making that second location a reality to then continuing and expanding and adding the distances? That's part one of the question. Part two of the question is that, do you still retain control over everything, or do you have to give away some of that control because you're selling shares of that location to someone else?
So first question, yeah. So all the locations we currently have, I could drive to, which makes a big difference, right? And our team can drive to. Austin is the first one that I will be flying to. But it's been like 4 years in the making too, right? So for me, it's exciting. It's something different. And any time we open, we're going to be able to learn how to open better next time. How can we bring that back to the team as a whole? And so I think just by knowing we could drive with more control, like, oh, if someone's out, we need to fix something. But that's why I think it's helpful that we've had 4 years of experience of, you know, seven locations. So now this is, should be our next, you know, adventure is like, okay, flying. Me selfishly, I'm so excited because I can work on the plane. I don't have to be driving. But two, it's like, what can we learn in this opening that will bring back to Optimal Bio as a whole that's better? If you stay stagnant, I don't think you could learn. But I think it's just, and then tactical wise, so we know when an office is going to break even. We open our offices with our own money. So we know, like, we forecast patient count, budget to open. So that goes in, plays a huge role of when we open a next location. And I think too, low over, if you can do the lowest overhead as possible, that is key.
Okay, I'm just checking if there are direct flights from Raleigh to Denver, so I can sell you
there
on
are.
A Denver location.
I've taken those. Oh yeah. I was out there like a year ago, and I was like, all right, where can we come? So, and then someone brought up Eagle. Would love to come out to Colorado. So yeah, direct flight, I'm there.
Yeah, I mean, you can come ski with us if you're a skier or snowboarder.
That's exactly. No, I 100%. I'm a skier, but I want to be a better skier as well.
Well, Christy here, I name her Christy Vaughn because she's also
thank you.
One of her many hats is ski instructor. What? She's teaching my kid to ski, so.
Whoa. Okay. Yeah, we can make it look like you teach me to ski better. We can give you some hormones.
I love
you
it.
Know, we can figure that
I'm
out.
In.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah. Okay, perfect. Perfect.
And,
yeah.
And I pretty much live in Eagle County. So if Eagle was on your radar, let's go.
Yeah. Okay. We can work on this.
Everyone here is so helpful.
Business deals on
right?
the fly.
Patient one and two. I love it. This is good.
Exactly.
100%.
Yeah. Yes.
It's really interesting. I love that you scaled in a way that was sustainable as well as maintaining the control. I personally had my entrepreneurship in buying franchises, And I would say the number one thing, luckily I have business acumen and am able to apply my knowledge, but people who buy into franchises that have, oh, I've been in a C-suite position, I've never ran the entire business, they struggle. And they struggle because they don't have the support systems in place, and or, you know, just that scalability isn't there, right? And so the fact that you've been able to be hands-on, have that closeness, and be able to, you know, kind of guide and see, make the changes as time moves is really important. I had 10 businesses in 5 different states, so I spent a lot of time on the airplane and going to different locations, and it was always amazing to me. I love the areas that you're picking because my business in Indiana was a totally different demographics than in California. And I had to learn how to pivot my marketing, pivot my value proposition specific to those locations. So, the beautiful thing about what you do, all of us need bioidentical hormone, but where are the people that are more educated and seeking out those services, right? And so I'm sure a lot of market research goes into what you do.
Exactly. And most patients do not know that they're looking for hormones. So, like, exactly, like, depending on our, you know, territory, keywords can be different. But before a patient even comes in, we do a new patient call to go over, you know, the science behind hormones, their symptoms, because our biggest thing is education. And people, of course, we're picking studies that hopefully there's, you know, a want, but still the education's not there. And that's definitely our job. You asked me a question about control. So it's not a franchise. We do own all of the locations, which is key. And it's interesting you talked about C-suite and franchises. I had a very interesting meeting conversation and all of that. Now, so I'm glad that you think the same thing. I wasn't going crazy. But to like control day to day, it's hard to let go. And I think that's why it's so important to trust your team. So, our director of practice operations, she started as a patient coordinator here like 4 or 5 years ago, and I trust her with everything running with the day to day. So it takes time building, and then I think honestly sometimes it's good when it gets too busy because then you have to let go of control, right? And just sometimes just hopefully the process in place and just like let it be and fix if there's going to be issues, right?
That is something that is so popular in the women leadership realms of that confidence and usually lack of it in many, many ways, and then control and too much of it. So it goes back to your work-life balance and the fact that Christy and I call it, or at least I call it, work-life integration, because you have to integrate both together. But there is no balance, because otherwise it would mean that we're literally working for half the day and then living for half the day without counting sleeping, because to me, sleeping is not living, right?
No, but it's key.
So it totally is key. It replenishes, I mean, it does wonders to the hormones
Right?
too, like
Oh, it does. And your brain. Oh, yeah. Sleep is key. Yeah.
Yes, for sure. But I'm curious to know, because we've talked about confidence a lot and we've talked about control a lot. Like, how do you integrate both of those? Because in a certain way, it takes control to have confidence, but then it also takes confidence to relinquish control.
100%. So, yeah, the control, I think the key for me to let go of control is by building the team that I trust. Trust is a big thing for me in all in my personal life, work life, right? And then your experience with the team members, because you want to let go of control, right? And you want their team to be able to, but if they're not holding up their end of getting their job done, communicating with you clearly, then that is a problem, right? So then you have to like reassess, like, okay, did I not explain it to them right? Go through the whole process. But at the end of the day, if you can't trust your teammate, that I think is a root cause of control problems, because I can't delegate to things with to people that I might not know if it's going to get done. And my biggest thing, I don't want that to affect the team or to the patients. So definitely that's, and then that's, you know, up to me, like, okay, then that they're not a right fit and move on. But, and again, obviously these people have like control issues. So I think that's a totally different conversation. But I think too, it's good when you get busier and you're like, you just have to let it be. And it can flow. I think that's why it's so important to train well and have process in place, because then hopefully that can build that work balance of having that conversation that you know they're going to get it done, because there's so many people on the team. I'm like, I know they're going to do it and not even a thought in my mind, right? I think the problems with control is when you don't trust that person because they haven't gotten things done. So that's what I think. And then confidence, yeah, I just think just like you got to show up every day. And I think that's just how it builds your confidence. It's like showing up every day. And two, I think like a year ago, I was listening to some CEO talk and she said, our job as CEO is to make decisions. They might not always be right, but our job is to make decisions. And that was such a good reminder because I think we all hold ourselves that we can't mess up. Like we have to make the right decision. And that was just kind of like kind of taking some pressure off of you. Like, yeah, our job is to make decisions. Making decisions is so hard. Most people can't make them. So of course you want to, you know, prep, like we were talking about, like you still have to prep and learn and be in it. But knowing like, hey, our job is to make a decision. And if it's not good, we'll fix it out. But you have to make a decision.
Nobody wants to be like Louisa in Encanto.
No. And you can't lead if you're not going, if you're not going to. Because like there's really hard decisions you have to make, right? And I think also people forget that like we are also humans. Like it can be hard. Like if things stick with you, you have to just like go home, but this is like, and just process it. But it's like, I think people need that reminder sometimes. Like we know we have to make that decision because it's the best interest of the team and the company, but we're humans. It sits with us for sure.
I've always liked fail fast, right? Like you're going to fail. But if you can learn from it and you can do it quickly and you can identify what caused you to fail and make those changes, like you're just improving things along the line. And if you're not willing to fail, you're not growing as well. So we need to kind of shift that lens a little bit around it. So 7 locations since you became CEO, 8th one is in the works. What is the future vision for Optimal Bio and where do you see this organization continuing to grow?
Yeah, so hopefully we'll be up and running to seeing patients in March. I'll be actually in Austin this week at the office. And then we would love to go to Florida. That would be our next idea. Then maybe open another location in Virginia. So we have a location in Virginia. And like I said, maybe come out west to Denver. But going back to, exactly, we're coming to Denver, really making sure we grow smart, right? That quality is there. The current officers are doing well, internal, external. And then we're looking, you know, to grow through acquisition. So is there going to be offices for us to acquire and then turn them into Optimal Bio? Definitely looking at that right now. But we're kind of seeing what's the magic number of 10 and then kind of saying, okay, is this good? Should we expand? But really making sure quality is number one.
What about for you personally? What's that vision for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think about, so like I'm really into wellness as a whole, right? Like hormones are key, but wellness as a whole, especially you talk about, and so many people don't realize that. And so I think about sometimes how can we provide that wellness education to our patients too? But then I don't want them to think we're just adding another service to charge them. So how do we blend that? Because people are always asking questions about toxins, foods. So how do we do that? Especially this preventative aspect, like the cancer rates are going up skyrocketing, especially in younger people. And why? Of course, there's many moving parts, but so many of it's environmental. So if we can be part of the education to help people understand, I would love that. And actually, this past week, 2 dietitians reached out to me and were like, hey, are you looking? But really personal and professional, growing Optimal Bio, because I know we can help people and so many people do not know that.
I'm just going to say you can educate people on TikTok since we're on the TikTok.
We have TikTok. Yes, we do try to educate people on TikTok. That's the thing. Like, if you go to, like, our Instagram, our TikTok, it's really we try to make it as educational as possible so that if you're just, you know, looking at Instagram or TikTok, at least maybe you could learn something or it could like jog your memory to go look at something else.
Yeah, I think we're in the era of like information overload, but I think that any type of professional education that comes from trained professionals, so it's just like a lawyer, that you can give legal advice, obviously, on social media, but you can actually educate people on what to look for and kind of be attuned to their body, to their health, you know, and like you said, we know our bodies better than anybody else. I think that's a blessing versus a curse to have that overload of information, because otherwise you go to Google and guess what? No matter what you have, Google tells you you have cancer. So correct. Congratulations.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, I agree. Like, yeah, there's so much information and so much negative with social media, right? But there also can be good, and you can curate what you want to look and who you want to follow and help. That I think is huge. Like we talked about, even just the conversation about hormones is getting bigger and bigger on TikTok and Instagram. And how great is that to have that conversation? Whereas, yeah, you go to Google, it's a standard response, which is not going to get you really far.
Well, Tyler, I really appreciate you coming on this show, not only sharing your journey so far in entrepreneurship, but also educating our listeners on the value of bioidentical hormones and what it can actually do to you for your overall well-being. If you were to leave our listeners with, you know, you're the best piece of advice you've received as you've been growing up in your career, what would you leave listeners with?
The best, oh goodness, that is a hard one. The best piece of advice, I would say you need to know your why, because that is one will bring you to making the hard decisions, having the hard conversations, but then also getting you through the hard days. I mean, to be very honest, the past 4 weeks have been a lot. But going back to your why is like, okay, this is why you're showing up for your team, showing up for your patients, and why we're here as a whole.
That is an incredible piece of advice. So for all of the listeners that are in North Carolina, South Carolina, Texas, specifically Austin, later Florida, Virginia, and also Colorado and all those other states, like, how can they find you?
Yeah, so our website, optimalbio.com, has so much information about what we do. We have YouTube that's connected. We have a book called The Hormone Handbook, which really dives into the science behind hormones, the benefits of hormones. So you can download that off our website. And then, like we mentioned, we have TikTok, we have Instagram, we have a podcast. Really just based on education of this is what we do, and we have different, you know, speakers on there that talks about, you know, their expertise. And Optimal Bio is Instagram and TikTok. It's all Optimal Bio, you know, keep it across the brand.
Fantastic. Well, it was lovely chatting with you. We always love talking with women who are taking over the world in their specialty, so congrats on the momentum, and I'm sure we'll see a lot more of you for some reason.
Oh, 100%. You're stuck with me now, you know? Yeah.
Well, come ski.
I'm coming. I will be there. Right.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we did recording it. If you like our show, please rate us, drop us a review on your favorite streaming app, and we'll catch you on the next episode. This was the Badass Women in Business Podcast by Christy and I.